It's good to be with you today. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Christmas is come and gone. It seems like it never lasts long enough, and we're in 2021. What a exciting thing that is. I know 2020 has been a very difficult year for many of us, and I hope your family has been safe. Today I want to look at one of the passages for the scripture of the week, John chapter 1, that simply says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And coming out of this Christmas season and being in Epiphany, I think that's an appropriate passage to look at. And I want to take a little different angle on that today and just talk about what that means to me and hopefully what it means to you. That Jesus, the second part of the Trinity, came to earth and was with us, and what that has provided for each of us. As I think about that, I think about the fact that I want to talk about four things. Number one, because Jesus came to earth and lived and gave his life for us and sent his Holy Spirit to live in our lives, I can have assurance that God has a purpose for my life. And that that purpose can be lived out through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jeremiah chapter, chapter 29, verse 11, Jeremiah in that passage, as you'll remember the situation going on there, he says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Through Jesus, God has given us hope and a future. And God has a plan for every one of our lives. Now, there's a general plan for everyone's life. The general plan is that God wants all of us to accept his Son as Lord and Savior. It's not his will that any should perish, but all should have eternal life. That we be faithful to Christ and live a life that glorifies him, and that we share with others this grace of God that came in Christ Jesus. But God also has a specific plan for your life. He's given you spiritual gifts that were intended because he wanted to share the good news through you, and he wanted you to be able to live a life for his glory. And each of you have spiritual gifts. Now, as a pastor, throughout the years, I've had many say to me, "Pastor, I don't have any spiritual gifts," but that's just not true. The scripture says that he gave to each one just as he determined. So God has a plan for your life, and he has given you, he's gifted you so that you could carry out that plan. And because Jesus came, we all have purpose and we all have a plan for our life. The second thing that I want to talk to you about is, because Jesus came, I can trust the Lord. I can trust the Lord with my future. I can trust the Lord with my family. I can trust the Lord with all that's going on. Right now, people are living in fear. They're afraid. They're anxious. We live in very uncertain times. Not just the global pandemic, but racial tensions have gripped our society. The political world has been in upheaval. Some people have experienced extreme financial hardship because their businesses have been closed. And this is a time that, people are finding it difficult to know who to trust and whom to trust. And so one of the passages that has meant a lot to me in my life is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Now, if you notice in that verse, it says, trust in the Lord with just part of your mind, part of your heart. No, that's not what it says. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Can we give God all of our life, not just part of our life, not just a Sunday trust, but Can we trust the Lord with our businesses, with our families, with raising our children, with the future of our nation? Can we trust in the Lord? If I believe that God has a plan for my life, then I also have to trust Him with that plan that I believe He has for my life. Does that make sense? I mean, if I say, Lord, I believe you have a plan for my life, then it doesn't make sense that I wouldn't trust Him with what that plan is, because God never called you to do what God didn't also equip you to do. So if He calls you to do something, He has gifted you in the areas that you need to be able to do that. Now, we can mess up God's plan. Have you ever messed up God's plan? I think most of us, if we're trying to be truthful, will say, yeah. There's been occasions that I have messed up God's plan. God set it up for me, and I messed it up. There's been times that I had the opportunity to witness, and I blew it, you know. There's been times that God laid it out before me, and I didn't walk through the door. Either I was afraid, or, you know, a lot of other emotions got in the way, or whatever. So even though God has a plan for my life, I can mess it up. Bishop Willimon, in one of his books, wrote that even though the gift of salvation is a gift, it can also be a tragedy if we don't accept that gift. So even though God's got a general plan for our life, that we all accept Jesus, we know that there will be people that don't accept Jesus. And that's you know, that will not be because God did not want them saved or did not offer them salvation, that they chose that. And even those of us who do know Christ, there may be a call upon our life that we don't fulfill, even though that God set it up for us, gifted us to do it. And if we don't trust the Lord with our present and our past and our future. And let me say a little bit about that. We got to trust God with our present. And right now, that's difficult, I know. I got to trust God with today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I got to trust God with today. I've got to trust God with my past. A lot of people live their life less than what God planned them to live their life because they never trusted God with their past. What do you mean by that? Well, I've got to trust God that if I confess my sins, that He's faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I've got to trust that God's promises are true, that His Son did come to deliver me and to save me and to fill me. So I've got to trust God with my present today, but I've also got to trust God with the past, that God's got this, that I have an advocate in Christ Jesus, and I got to trust God with my future, that even though it's uncertain, I'm living each day for the Lord, and while I can't control tomorrow, I'm going to live toward tomorrow in faith and knowing that God is faithful. Now, if I believe God's got a plan for my life, as Jeremiah says, and if I believe that I can trust the Lord with all my heart, if I don't lean on my understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him, in every aspect of life acknowledge Him, that God will direct my path. Then number three, I've got to believe, I've got to ask God to help the words of my mouth to acknowledge those two facts. Let me read you a verse and then we'll talk about it. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So here's the deal. If I trust the Lord, if I believe God's got a plan for my life, then it only makes sense that I trust the Lord with my future, present, past. And if I do that, then my words should reflect that. Now, what happens a lot of times is our words don't reflect that. I was sitting around a coffee table with a bunch of pastors several years ago now. I know it's shocking that pastors would be sitting around drinking Diet Coke or coffee or whatever and talking, but that's kind of what we do sometimes. And we were talking about all kinds of issues, you know, the denomination and pensions and, you know, housing and taxes and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And then all of a sudden, one of the pastors, you know him if I called his name, he's pastor of one of our large churches, he said, you know, when I first became a pastor, I didn't even know what the salary was. And if I had a pension, I didn't know about it. And the house I lived in wasn't very nice, but I didn't care. I just wanted to serve the Lord. And a silence fell over the table, and suddenly several people had to leave. But I think it reminded all of us that sometimes we start with one purpose and then we end up with another. Our mouths should not spout all the negativity that life sometimes, you know, that we can spout if we wish. People who don't know Christ see us as negative about church and about our denomination and about, you know, why would they accept Christ? I was in the post office one day and a young man walked over to me and said, "Do you know who I am?" And I said, "I think you're so-and-so's son." He said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "I guess you want to know why I don't come to church." And I don't know how you answer that. I said, "Well, would you like to tell me why you don't go to church?" And he proceeded to tell me that his mother and daddy took him to church every Sunday. And every Sunday, in his words, quote, "we had roasted preacher, or roasted choir, or roasted Sunday school teacher." He said every Sunday it was what was not the song they didn't like. The sermon was too long. It was too loud. It was, you know, it was too this or too that. The choir was off key. And he said that I was sitting there thinking, if church is so bad, why do we go? And I decided if I ever get old enough, I'm not going. The words of our mouth have consequences. And the scripture says that we should pray each day, "Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." So if I believe God has a plan for my life, and I believe, then it only makes sense that I should trust him with all my heart, and that my words should acknowledge that to people that I come in contact with. And then there's a fourth and final point I'd like to make, and a scripture. I'll read it, and then we'll talk about it. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." So if I believe God's got a plan for my life, and I trust him with all my heart, and my words acknowledge that, then I believe that I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength, through the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. My granddaughter, Sydney, was sitting in my lap one day, and she asked me kind of a strange question. She said, "Papa, are you and Mimi married?" And I thought, oh my goodness, my granddaughter thinks that I'm living with her grandmother. So I said, "Well, of course we're married." And she looked at me like, "I don't believe that." And I looked at Luann and said, "Do you know where the wedding pictures are?" And she looked at me like, "Oh my gosh, that's 40-something years ago." And so she left for a moment, and she comes back, and she's blowing dust off of a wedding album. And she gives me the album, and I open it up, and Sydney's looking at it. And I don't know, she's probably 5, 6, 7 at this time. And she's looking at it, and she says, "Who's that?" And I said, "Well, that's Mimi, and that's Papa." And she looked at me and she said, "Papa, you've become a different person." And I had a good laugh about that. And I said, "Yeah, I've gotten gray and bald and old, hadn't I?" And I tickled her and we laughed. But the truth is, in Christ Jesus, we become different people. Christ has transformed us. He's changed us. And I don't know about you, but for me, that wasn't all at once. It was a little at a time. It was what Mr. Wesley would call sanctification. It was a process. And little by little, I became a different person in Christ Jesus. So the fact that Jesus came to earth has totally changed my life. I'm not the person that I would be without Jesus. So to recap, I just want you to think about those four things. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? It's an important question because without purpose, we don't have significance. So we need to believe that Jeremiah is true. God has a plan for our life. I know the plan I have for you. And do you trust God with that plan? Do you trust Him with all of your heart, not just part of who you are? And do your words indicate to others that these two facts are true? You believe God has a plan for your life, and you trust Him with all your heart with that plan. And do you is that true because you can do all things through Christ? It's not that we think we can do all things, but we think we believe we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So in this Epiphany week, as we turn the calendar on a year that's been challenging to say the least, I would pray that you would join me in these four verses that I often live by and remind myself of. And they're all true because Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the celebration of His birth. Thank you for the new year that offers new hope. We pray, Lord, for those that are doing all they can to help us survive this virus. We pray for the power of Your Spirit to cover our globe and give us healing and peace. We pray, Lord, for those among us who are not always treated as they should be treated. We pray for our own prejudices in our own life where we fall short of Your glory. We pray for each other, Lord, and we pray for the most vulnerable among us, Lord, for our elderly and for those who are without shelter and food and the essentials of life. God, help us to be all we can so that Your world can, so that the prayer can be true, that it is on earth as it is in heaven. And God, we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.